It's good stuff. Hey, I was obviously I made it all the way through grammar school. I made it through high school just barely. I've admitted that. You know, I had a degree in hunting through high school, but I got there. They liked me. They kind of passed me through, and then I spent kind of like 25 years kind of just deciding what I wanted to do, and then Cheryl calls it running from God career, 19 different jobs, and so in never drawn unemployment, so one job after another, after another, after another, after another. I went to college and graduated from college in the May of 2000, so now I'm 20 years on the other side of that. And one of my, in the least favorite class, really, of all my grammar school, of high school, of college, was like English or literature. You know, it's like, what does that mean? You know, it's just like, I can remember in eighth grade, I had to read the Red Badge of Courage. You know, it's like, let's go make some red badges of courage. You know, let's not read about it. You know, so it's a red badge of courage. You had to write a report on it. Well, at that time, we didn't have Google, and you couldn't just Google the report, and you actually had to do it. But they sold the Cliff Notes to those books, so you could buy the yellow books with the black lines on them. They were the Cliff Notes, kind of give you the brief understanding of what the book was about. Well, my English teacher knew the book inside and out, so she kind of picked up that some of us had taken the Cliff Notes. And so her questions were, what wasn't in the Cliff Notes? And so she was a wise teacher. She didn't really care for me too much, but she was a wise teacher. And I don't know if I would care for me either if the roles were switched. But the Red Badge of Courage, written by Stephen Crane, right? Stephen Crane, it was incredible. The guy was only 29 years old when he died from tuberculosis. But the words that he penned, and the Red Badge of Courage, and other words that he has penned, I one of his poems kind of stick out to me now, and I kind of hate to admit that you know, that, hey, here's a poem that I like. You know, it's kind of like, you know, I feels like I gotta hang up my leather belt and my work shoes for a while and come over here and read a poem or something. I know it's not that way, but that's just the way my psyche goes. But a poem is I think it's just so, it grieves me at times, and I think that's what poems and writings like this have the potential of doing. But listen to this poem here. I'm going to read it for you. Truth, said a traveler, Stephen Crane, 1871 to 1900 is when he was on this earth. Truth, said a traveler, is a rock, a mighty fortress. Often have I been to it, even to its highest tower, from whence the world looks black. Truth, said a traveler, is a breath, a wind, a shadow, a phantom. Long have I pursued it, but never have I touched the garment, the hem of its garments. I believe the second traveler. For truth was to me a breath, a wind, something unattainable, something I couldn't catch. Something I couldn't build my life on. Something I couldn't stand on. It was just a breath. It was a phantom. It was just a shadow. And I listened to this truth. The one guy said, this truth is this foundation, is this solid rock. And I've been to there. And yeah, at times the world looks black from truth. Then the other traveler said, no, you can't really ever know truth. You can't. You can't know it. It's this shifting shadow. It's a phantom. And I have never touched the hem of the garment. And he said, I believe the second guy, that I could never know truth. I believed the second traveler, for truth was to me a breath, a wind, a shadow, a phantom, and never had I touched the hem of its garment. Wow. To me, that's grievous. To me, that he had both before him. He had a witness over here of what truth is, and then he had a witness of what another person thought was truth, and he chose to believe that there is no really truth. There's no truth. It's just the shifting moments of life. It's not true. What's true today wouldn't be true tomorrow anyway, so don't worry about truth. Because it's just a phantom, it's just a shadow, it's going to change tomorrow, so don't really worry about the truth. And I tell you what, I have a problem with that.
In John chapter 4, we see a guy come to Jesus, and he says, once more Jesus visited Cana in Galilee, where he had turned the water into wine. He's back in town, boys and girls. And I tell you what, he didn't sneak in the back door, apparently, because people know he's there. And there was a certain royal official whose son lay sick in Capernaum. When this man heard that Jesus had arrived in Galilee from Judea, he went to him and begged him to come and heal his son. Can you just feel the guy's grief? You know, my son, I've come all the way from Capernaum. My son is lying sick. And I've got away from everything else that I had planned for today, and I come to the one person I think can make a difference. Unless people see, and Jesus said, unless you see, people see miraculous signs and wonders, Jesus told them, you will never believe. And then the royal official says, sir, come before my child dies. And I find it very interesting that he didn't. Jesus said, you guys just want to see a miracle. And the guy says, I don't want to just see a miracle. Thank you, honey. The guys, I just don't want to see a miracle. I want my son to live. I'm not here just to see a magic trick. And I think that's what his heart was saying. And Jesus said, you guys are never going to believe unless I can do some magic tricks among you. And the guy said, that's not why I'm here. I'm here because my son needs to be touched by you, Jesus. Because if he's not touched by you, he's not going to make it. And the beautiful reply. Jesus replied, you may go. Your son will live. The man took Jesus at his word and departed. He believed Jesus. He believed Jesus. He took Jesus at his word. I've entitled this message today, he took Jesus at his word. There was truth that he could stand on. There was something that he could stand on. Not just a shifting shadow, not just a phantom, but something he could stand on. He didn't fully understand it all yet. He took Jesus at his word. He believed Jesus. The man took Jesus at his word. To take someone at their word, push the button please, is this. To take at their word, to accept that what one says without further verifying or investigation. It comes to a time, listen New Lifers, it comes to a time when we're going to take Jesus at his word. We're going to investigate, we're going to verify, and we're going to investigate, and we're going to verify. And if you spend a life, and I'm not against that, I'm not against investigating and verifying, but there comes a moment when we're going to have to take Jesus at his word. You can spend a whole lifetime trying to verify, and a whole lifetime trying to investigate, but there comes a time when it's just time to take Jesus at his word. Can we take Jesus? Jesus is truth. The scriptures say there's truth. It's a portion of faith in here. Push the button. There's a faith, a persuasion of the mind that certain statement is true. That's what I want to believe. I want to believe the first traveler. I want to believe truth. I want to believe truth. I want to be persuaded that there's certain statement is true. A thing is true and therefore worthy of trust. It's a true statement. And so that when Jesus, let me argue this. When Jesus makes a statement, is it truth? If it's truth, then I can take him at his word. I can take him at his word and I can move in that step that Jesus told me to take. I can stop verifying it for that moment. I can stop investigating it for that moment. And I can begin to take steps with Jesus. I can take him at his word. It says the scriptures say that Jesus is truth. I'm going to make an argument that everything that Jesus says is true. Hang with me here just a moment. Because I only want to believe truth. Because truth is a foundation. Because truth is a rock. Because truth will take me to a plane higher than I am. Because truth will get me through the storm. Because truth will navigate me closer and closer to God. But I got to know, if I'm going to take Jesus at his word, right now we know the end of the story. If we were to read the end of that story, you know what it says? It says the man's son was healed. But he did not know that when he left and he took Jesus at his word. He took Jesus at his word. He believed what Jesus was saying was true. And the Bible says that Jesus is truth. In him there is no darkness. Therefore, Jesus can only say truth. What Jesus says can only be truth. And you can take Jesus at his word because it's never not truth. And I'll tell you what, I've wrestled with this in my life. Years I've wrestled with this. Taking Jesus at his word and receiving it. And I want to be able to do that more quickly in my life. I like to see. And the guy kind of met up with some friends and had coffee for half a day and then thought about it for, and then he took Jesus. He didn't do that. He took Jesus at his word and he departed. Because what Jesus was saying was true. So I asked the question, can I take Jesus at his word? The answer to that statement is yes. Because Jesus speaks nothing that's not truth. But this begs the next question, will I take Jesus at his word? See, that's the question. It's not if I can, but will I? But will I take Jesus at his word? Am I making sense this morning? Just a couple of you, just shake your head yes. Okay, that makes me feel better. I'm endeavoring I don't want to be, I don't know if truth is a phantom. I don't know if it's a shifting shadow. I don't know if it's a breath. I don't know what it is over here. Oh, you can't know either. Just suck it up. Sorry, cupcake. Or no, I'm telling you there's truth. I'm telling you it's a foundation. I'm telling you it's strong. I've been there. I know sometimes the world looks black from truth, but don't move it. Don't move off the truth. It is going to take you to a plane higher than you are. And if you can never see the world as black from truth, you're never going to change the world for the truth's sake. And I want to stand on that truth. And Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And the scriptures are going to continue to say there's no darkness in God. There's no darkness in Jesus. And you can take him at his word. So what is Jesus saying? There's like 500 things in the New Testament, but I'm going to only go 12. Just so you know, this is not just Matthew 11:28. This is what Jesus said. It's recorded. That's where it lives. That's where that statement lives in the Bible. It lives in Matthew, the town of Matthew, on the 11th street at the 28th house. That's where that verse lives. But it's the breath of Jesus. And Jesus does not just say these things. He is saying these things. So let me just run through these. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. See, I need to hear that because I go to other things to give me rest. I go to other things to help me through navigate life. And Jesus is saying, I want you to take me at my word on that. I will give you rest. Come to me and I will give you rest. Just let me move through these 12. With man, this is impossible, but not with God. All things are possible with God. Jesus said that. Now, is either Jesus speaking the truth or is he not? Can I take him at his word? Will I take him at his word and say, whatever's going on in your life with me, it's not impossible. You think it's impossible. It's not. You think you're up against something that's impossible. Jesus said, just take me at my word. Just let me hear me say this. It's not impossible. Push the button. I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble. That's Jesus saying this. That's the reality. In this world, you're going to have trouble. You know, that's not what I really want Jesus to whisper in my ear. I want him to say, go get them. Tear it down. Build it up. And Jesus sometimes just shows up in my life and says, I told you you were going to have some trouble. Just the way it is. I'm not arm wrestling with Satan. Don't worry. I got you, but I just told you there are going to be some troubles in this world. It's not going to all be smooth sailing. I don't want you to get all riled up and anxious. When your combine comes down over the field and tell you, to make that story worse, Tobin didn't tell you, ends up in the manure pit. For crying out loud, how can that story get any worse? You didn't just wreck your combine, it went into the manure pit. Just not to take Tobin's thunder, maybe he'll preach it someday, but then he had to go unhook the head of the combine, and guess where the head was? It went head first into the manure pit, so now Tobin is doing the swan dive in the manure pit to try to get his, I'm just telling you, and the whole time Jesus said, I told you I have trouble. But peace. I felt so bad because Tobin texts Jeff and I, and I'm saying, whoa, do you need some help? Oh, that's that. And Jeff finally says, Tobin, are you okay? I never even asked him. And I think the whole time God's saying, it's just part of the world. You're going to have trouble sometimes. Don't let it get all anxious inside. I want you to have this peace, and I want you to know that I'm here. In this world, you will have trouble, but take heart! Exclamation point. I have overcome the world. There's no arm wrestling going on. I win. And you are my son. You are my daughter. You win because I win. Don't get all anxious, which is great advice for our country right now.
Come on now.
Look what he says in Mark. He says, this is Jesus again. It's not just a passage of Scripture. It's not just a verse. This is a quote from Jesus. Therefore, I tell you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you have received it. Believe that you have received it, and it will be yours. I'm telling you, that just messes with my theology, but it doesn't mess with my God. What is it, Spidey sense? Isn't that what the Spider-Man has? My God, you know what I think, is it, am I right? Yeah, he has like a Spidey sense, right? But I'm not sure if I'm saying that right, but that's not really the point. I'm truly rabbit trailing right now. But it's just, it's my God sense. God, wow. What does that mean, God? He said, well, let me speak into your ear sometimes. Let me just tell you, and let me just walk with you, and you can take me at my word. Push the button, please. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in a vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. But guess what you can do if you remain in me? You can bear fruit. Oh, baby, can you bear fruit? I'm not asking you to do it alone. Remain in me. I was driving down the road this week, and we talked about this in men's group some on Thursday night. I'm driving down the road this week, and I was thinking, and all of a sudden, the thought come to me, and it's God knocking on my door, knocking on my head, knocking on the wood in my brain. I don't know what he's doing, but he's just knocking. I said, God, what do you want me to think about right now? And I almost got this sense, God said, finally. Finally, he's asking me, what do you want me to think about? And all of a sudden, something comes into my mind, and I'm saying, well, that's interesting, God. I haven't even been in that environment for a couple years. He said, I know. You asked me what you wanted me to, what I wanted you to think about, and this is what I want you to think about. Remain in me and watch the fruit you will produce. Look at Matthew 5:14 says, you are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Sometimes I feel so hidden. Look what he says in Matthew 6:33. Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. You can seek God's kingdom. Do you ever hear just Jesus saying, seek the kingdom? Seek the kingdom. Seek the kingdom. And just whispering in your ear, seek the kingdom. Do you think he stopped saying that? Do you think he stopped saying that? Do you think that was first century stuff only? Do you think for the last 1920 years that's not relevant? Is he still saying that? Seek the kingdom. Is he still inviting me to seek the kingdom? Push the button. Look at the birds of the air. They don't sow or reap or run their combines over the cliff. Sorry, Tova, that's the rabbit trail. Or store away in barns. And yet our Heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than them? He says in Mark 9:23, he says, if you can, this is one that struck me this week. That's Jesus saying that. The guy said, hey, Jesus, if you can do something, maybe you want to show up. And Jesus says, if I can? What? If? There is no if. If? I just think, if I can, I can just see Jesus saying, that doesn't compute in my God sense. And then he says this, if you can, said Jesus, everything is possible for him who believes. John 3:17 says, for God did not send Jesus is saying this to Nicodemus, for God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. I didn't come to condemn you. I didn't come to pronounce judgment on you. I came to save you, rescue you. Look, he says in Luke 5:10, don't be afraid. From now on, you will catch men. And I like the word catch in the Greek. It says to take alive. You're going to take men alive. So that's why he says you don't hunt men, because it's hard to take something alive when you're hunting. You can do that with fishing. He said, you're going to do that. He said that to Peter. I wonder if he's saying that to me. I wonder when he says that to me. I wonder when he says that to you. John 14:12 says this, I tell you the truth, anyone who has faith in me will do what I've been doing. He will do greater things than these. He will do greater things than these. Because I am going to the Father. These are just 12 things that Jesus says in the Scriptures. Not things that he has said, but things that he is saying. What is keeping us from taking Jesus at his word? I find myself wanting to take Jesus at his word. How do I take Jesus at his word? Here it is. Just here. I have just then, just four things I want to say. Just here, just here. And just so you know, I asked God that this week at my desk. I said, God, this is really cool stuff. How do I do it? And this is what he told me. And he says this, you need to hear it. Just hear it. Just hear things like, I will give you rest. See, what I want to do is I want to run that through my filter. It is not impossible. Then I run that through my filter of all the reasons it's not possible, and I come out on the other end, and the knots got control of my thinking, and Jesus said, you just need to hear it. Will you stop thinking about it right now? Just let me help you hear it. Whatever you're up against, it's not impossible. And I believe he's speaking that into my life, and I think he's speaking that into your life as well. There are individuals here that don't know if they can move forward in life. They don't know if their relationship is going to survive. They don't know if they can do their job anymore. And Jesus is saying, I think he's coming to us, and he's saying, that's not impossible. It's not impossible. Take heart. See, I know about me, and I'm hoping I know this about you. I want to take Jesus at his word, but I can't take Jesus at his word until I hear him. The problem is, what would Jesus do? We have no idea what would Jesus do. We do it, and then we say, Jesus would have done it this way. I would say a good portion of the time we have dropped the ball as a humanity, as a church, not as a local church, just as the history. And I think we just need to set aside time just to hear. It's not impossible. I don't have COVID, so. It's not impossible. Take heart. Remain in me. You are the light. Seek the kingdom. If you want to know somebody who took that advice and they sought the kingdom, we're going to hand out Hannah's number later on, right? Hang on, because God has spoke to that young woman again, and she's taken him at his word. I got a call on Sunday. Said, do you have some time? I said, I think I need to make time for this call. And she unleashed what God is doing in her life, the hard things that he's put her up against, the decisions that she had to make, and she's making them with great zeal and great passion. And I think she's hearing from Jesus. You are so valuable. I am not here to condemn you. I'm here to show you how much I value you. I can. I'm not here to condemn you. I'm here to rescue you. You're going to do greater things. I'll tell you what, I've heard that from Jesus before, and I got this whole series of, but this and this, and I don't have this, and I don't have this, and Jesus, oh, sorry, I take that back. No, he's saying, I know you're not, Ed. But I didn't tell you that all things are possible with me. You're going to do greater things. Don't be afraid. The message of life is in your lips. You will take men alive. So we need just to hear it and not run it through our filters. I don't deserve it. I'm messed up. I can't do this. I've lost control before. I messed up last time I did this, Jesus. I can't do it again. I don't know if I want to. It's going to cost me too much. And Jesus says, can you just hear it? Stop running it through your filter. And then as I did that, I laid my head on my desk and I said, that's good stuff, God. He says, thanks. You know, I think that God says that stuff to me. I just do. You know, maybe I've had too much caffeine too. I don't know. But it's... But how do I do? Now what do I do? And literally the next thing is the first thing that he put on my mind. He said this, then sing. And he said, I said, just sing. Can I get in the shower first or in a loud truck or something? You know, I sound better. And I believe he said, just sing. He said, sing this. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. It is impossible. It is not impossible. And then I found myself saying, praise God from whom all blessings flow. Try it. It has made a world of difference in this past week in my life. I don't allow the filters, I allow the worship. And when you hear something, just start praising God from whom all blessings flow. I've sang that in some kind of weird tunes this week. I'm like, that ain't right. And then I said, man, if I sing that on Sunday, I hope John and Tobin kind of jump in. But you know what it's done? When I start hearing from Jesus and I just sing. How about this one? It's this. Push the button, please. You are so valuable, but I feel like this and I done this. And God said, I didn't ask you to do that. I asked you just to sing. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Just so you know, I'm not trying to get real spiritual. I'm trying to get very practical, I think. I'm not, someday I would really like just to step out here and not hit the ground because the power of God is so strong that I can walk on it. I will try that someday. But God says, I want to be very practical, and you got stinking thinking going on. And you need to replace your stinking thinking with some worship because your thinking is screwed up. So when I speak to you, sing. Because I will speak to you. I am not a phantom. I am not a shifting shadow. I'm not just a wind. I am a foundation. I am not here to condemn you. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. I'm telling you, it's going to rock your world. This song was written 300 years ago, and a guy that wrote it couldn't even sing it in church because it was against the rules. You are going to do greater things than just find yourself singing. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Push the button. Number three, just let it advance in you then. Just let it. It's the reason I cap. And I know my word processor said you can't capitalize it. You don't know my it. Sorry, Microsoft, you don't get to decide who my it is, because my it is not a shifting shadow or a phantom. My it is a solid rock. And I will capitalize my it. Just let it advance in you, God said to me. Listen, I think God said to me this week, hear, just hear, then sing. Just let it go in you. I decided to say that to you. Just let it advance in you. Look what Jesus says in John 8. Jesus replied, I tell you the truth. Everyone who sins is a slave to sin. Now a slave has no permanent place in a family, but a son belongs to it forever. So if the Son has set you free, you are free indeed. And he goes, I know you are Abraham's descendants. I know your lineage. But you haven't been set free yet. Yet you are ready to kill me because you have no room for my word. You're ready to stand in the fat and in the phantom, in this wind and in the shifting shadows because you've got no room for my word. And actually the Greek word there says, you got no room for my word to advance in you. See, the Pharisees were hearing it, but they had no room for it. They wouldn't let it advance in them. You got to let it advance in you. If it doesn't advance in you, see step two. Either it'll advance in you or you'll get tired of singing. Just hear it, he said. Then sing. Just let it advance in you. Make room. Let the room be there. And then he said this. Then walk. He said, just hear, then sing. Just let it advance, then walk. God knows I'm not the sharpest tack in the box. He gives me pretty simple things. Just hear. Let me give you a 300-year-old song that everybody knows. Four lines long. Let me just tell you it's going to advance in you. Let me just tell you that it's not impossible. Whatever you're up against, it's not impossible. And then he said, then walk it out. The guy departed. I will show you what he is like who comes to me and hears my, what? And puts them into practice. He is like a man building a house who dug down deep and laid a foundation on a phantom and on a wind and on a shifting shadow. Who dug down deep and laid a foundation on the rock. When a flood came and the torrent struck and you started having chest pain and your combine went in the manure pit. And when you got bad news and the torrent struck the house, but it could not be shaken. Because it was well built. One last slide. Tracy said, Dad, you got a lot of slides today. Just so you know, that's the 40th slide you looked at. Just hear, then sing. Just let it advance in you, then walk. Stand with me today. God, thank you for this day. Thank you for your love for us. Jesus, thank you that you did not just say those things. You are saying those things. And thank you that you come up alongside of us and whisper in our ear the maybe one of the 500 things that you recorded in the Bible saying. Maybe it's a brand new thing that you're going to say to us. Help us just sing, God. Truth, I wish I could sing like that dude, but I don't think it makes any difference to what it sounds like coming out of my lips. It makes every difference of what it sounds like coming out of my soul. So Father, thank you. Speak to us, Jesus. Help us sing. Help us let it advance, it advance in us. Help us walk. Father God, thank you for this day. Thank you for your love for us. God, we have come, we have released the worship, we have released the word. And now in Jesus' name, I release the church. Have a great day, New Life. Ooh.